Dr. Sarah Hensley, I believe that's how you say her name, she said that she has discovered the biggest reason why women stop having sex with their husband. I have not watched this video yet, but there's all types of scriptures that is coming to my brain right now. So let's get into this video, and then as always, we'll have a conversation about it, all right? Let's go.
This is the biggest reason that women stop having sex with their husbands, and I know what's coming in the comment section, and I don't care. Because I have to spit the truth. And yes, I do know what I'm talking about. I know, Stuart, you're going to comment and say, well, maybe it's this, this, and this, and you're going to get kind of mad about what I have to say, but here's the deal. I have a doctorate in social psychology. I've spent my entire adult life studying romantic relationships, the science of romantic relationships, both studying the science as well as publishing in the science. And so I am very well versed in this topic, not to mention that I've seen thousands of clients and heard from thousands of women about why they won't have sex with their husbands. So, you know, Joe, if you know better, for sure put it in the comments, but I think I have some credibility. And if this is a problem in your relationship, you might want to humble yourself and take a seat and hear what I have to say. The primary reason why women stop having sex with their husbands is because they don't feel emotionally safe. And the reason that they don't feel emotionally safe is because their attachment needs are not being met inside of their relationship. Mm. Attachment needs are our deepest needs inside of a romantic relationship. And if those things are not fulfilled, we will not feel emotionally safe. And especially for women, when there is a lack of emotional safety, they start feeling very unsafe giving their bodies to their partner, and they start to feel extremely unattracted to their partner. Like, they simply can't get physically turned on by their partners anymore.
What does this look like?
So if you're not familiar with my content, you might be asking, how do I know what their attachment needs are? Well, there's a lot of information about attachment out there. You could dig through my videos, and you could probably very easily figure out the attachment style of your partner. Attachment science has been around since 1958. It's been studied empirically in thousands of empirical studies. Go to PubMed. The studies are out there, okay? Or you can work with me, and I'm happy to assess the attachment of your partner. And here's what you need to know. The different attachment styles have very, very different needs. So knowing the attachment style of your partner is really the keys to the kingdom and getting all your needs met inside of the relationship as well. So the anxious, preoccupied, their biggest need is love, affection, and reassurance. So they need lots of reassurance every single day that you love them, that the relationship is stable, and that you are, in fact, appreciative of them. And they really have all the love languages. They just want lots of reassurance of your love, okay? The fearful avoidant, I just did a video on this. Their biggest need is to be able to feel seen, heard, and understood in the relationship, aka trust you to show up for them in a way that feels good to them. Okay, so really leaning into seeing, hearing, and understanding them and making a lot of space for their feelings is super important. For the dismissive avoidant woman, it's going to be space, autonomy, and lack of criticism, aka peace and harmony inside the relationship. So a lot of times what I see is that women are expressing my emotional needs are not met, aka their attachment needs, and I physically cannot get turned on by my partner anymore. In fact, they start to get disgusted, like they get the ick so majorly bad. And could you open up your body and allow someone to like penetrate your being if you feel disgusted by them? They feel like they're violating themselves and someone is violating them. And trust me, I do videos on why meeting a man's sexual needs is very important inside of a relationship. So I'm definitely not one-sided on this. I'm just trying to share the woman's side here. And I know I may get roasted in the comments by the men, and I'm expecting it, and I don't care. And none of my self-esteem comes from what, you know, Bob thinks, right? But I know that I'm going to have a lot of women in the comments shouting, thank you. Thank you for saying what's been so hard for me to say or what my husband is not hearing. So there you go. The haters just boost the algorithm. So go ahead.
Somebody in the comments, they said, just divorce her and find somebody that will. So look, I'm not in total disagreement to what she said. I think there's some truth behind what she said. But we got to go back to the Bible because that's how we live, right? First Corinthians 7, principles for marriage. Check this out. If you're married or if you're thinking about getting married, which should be all of you unless you're the Apostle Paul and you just have no temptation. You just, you walk around, you're not tempted by anything. I'm assuming most people do not fall into that category. Like 99.9% of people probably do not fall into that category because just the world that we live in, there's so much temptation. And the Apostle Paul said, look, if you are tempted in that way sexually, then go ahead and get married. Stop sinning. Stop putting yourself in these situations to potentially sin and just get married. And have sex in the confines of your marriage because that is pleasing to God. So I think everybody should be listening up, all right? Principles for marriage, 1 Corinthians 7. Now concerning the matters about which you wrote, this is, I'm gonna tell you right now, I don't know, I'm assuming most Christians have read this before, but if you haven't read this like in a long time, it's probably gonna shock you, all right? Principles for marriage. 1 Corinthians 7. Now concerning the matters about which you wrote, it is good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman. Let me zoom this in. Listen to how he starts out. It is good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman. Which is, I'm like, kind of like, what are you talking about? But then he clarifies. He said, but because of the temptation to sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman her own husband. The husband should give to his wife her conjugal rights and likewise the wife to her husband. The husband should give to his wife her conjugal rights and likewise, the wife to her husband. What's conjugal rights? The rights, especially to sexual relations, regarded as exercisable in law by each partner in a marriage. For the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. Hold on, let me say that again. Because there's some wives who are sitting down right now with their husbands. And the wives might have got a little bit upset. And the husbands got excited. This is what the Bible says. Verse 4. For the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. But guess what? Likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another, except perhaps by agreement for a limited time. When he says deprive, he's talking about sex. Do not deprive one another from sex. That's what he's talking about. Except perhaps by agreement for a limited time that you may devote yourselves to prayer, but then come together again. So he said, look, first off, I love the Bible because so many people think that the Bible is like this wildly oppressive book when it comes to women. But the Bible is, if you just keep reading, the Bible is very fair. Perhaps the fairest book ever written, because the one who wrote it is the fairest judge in all of existence. Just a thought. But just like when it says, for the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. And then immediately after, it follows it up and says, well, wait, because I know y'all thinking some crazy thoughts. The husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. So there's a call. There's a call to faithfulness. There's a call to faithfulness. Wives, you don't have authority to step out and start seeing somebody else and sleeping with somebody else. You're married. Your husband has that authority over you. Husbands, you don't have authority to go out and start sleeping around. Your wife has that authority over you. Meaning, you are called to come together. Do not deprive one another, except perhaps by agreement. This is the thing that a lot of people lack is, you know, it's natural to have disputes in a marriage. And maybe that dispute might drive you to not want to be intimate with your spouse for a period of time. But here's the thing that a lot of people lack is the simple communication aspect. Let's communicate with one another. Let's communicate. Let's talk things out. Let's figure it out. You got married for a reason. You love her for a reason. You love him for a reason. You saw something that led you to get into a covenant under God to marry this person for life. Let's talk it out. Let's have some communication. And it says, like, look, the only reason that you should deprive one another is if you're wanting to devote yourself to prayer. If you want to really devote yourself to God and devote yourself to prayer and really just focus on Him, that's the only reason that you should not have sex. Because you're quote unquote fasting for a small period of time so that you can devote yourself to God. But then come right back together again. And here's the reason why. So that Satan may not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. The longer that you are living in this state of not having sex with your husband or not having sex with your wife, the longer you're allowing your marriage to be in this place, the more time you're giving for Satan to tempt you into sexual immorality. Genesis 2, verse 24. This goes hand in hand. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And the man and his wife were both naked and were not ashamed. The Bible said that Adam knew Eve. They're talking sexually because that's his wife. There should be no shame when you're having sex with your wife. That should not be a shameful activity. That's actually honoring to God when you're having sex in marriage. If you're doing it outside of marriage, you should be ashamed. You should be, because you know that that's not right and you're sinning. You're choosing to sin. Again, Ephesians 5, wives and husbands. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. That's a very controversial verse for some reason, but I don't think people read all the way down. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife. But listen to this part. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit in everything to their husbands. To the new believer, that might sound controversial, But this is why I love the Bible. It's righteous. Listen what it says right after. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Listen to everything I'm about to say. That he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present the church to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. In the same way, husbands should love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, just as Christ does the church, because we are members of his body. And then again, this is Ephesians, but the Ephesians is referencing Genesis. It says, therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is profound, and I am saying that it refers to Christ in the church. However, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. You know, in this video from Sarah Hensley, she said, you know, women who don't want to have sex with their husband, they get to a point where they get the ick because their husband is not fulfilling their emotional desires in some capacity, some way, shape, or form. And this is going on for a prolonged period of time. The Bible is very clear. Yes, wives are called to submit to their husband, but husbands, we're called to be the spiritual, the emotional leaders. We're called to build our wives up. We're called to truly love them in the way that Christ loved the church. We're called to sacrifice our own selfish desires in order to put our wives first. We're called to let them know that they're appreciated. We're called to let them know that we value them. But ultimately, we're called to show them the love of Christ and not lead them into sin, but to lead them into righteousness. And when we're truly fulfilling the call, I don't think that there's a way that we can fall into this place where we're not being intimate in our marriage, when we're truly fulfilling the call to truly love our wives as Christ loves the church. But some men are not fulfilling that call. We're not fulfilling that call. And we need to look into the mirror. And we need to be honest with ourselves. And we need to have those hard conversations. If you're in a marriage right now that is not intimate, you need to have those hard conversations. You need to get back to that space, back to that point where you're being intimate. Otherwise, just as the scriptures say, the devil is going to get all up in there and he's going to tempt you. And he's going to pit you against your wife and your wife against your husband. That's going to happen. That's what the scriptures say. I think ultimately we have to remember that marriage was created by God. So many people are just getting married and they don't even understand the root of why marriage exists in the first place. Marriage was created by God to honor him, to bear fruit. Let that be the focal point. And when that's the focal point, everything else will fall into place and you won't have these problems. But when that's not the focal point, then you start to see those bad fruits blossom and you get the result that she was talking about, where you can be married to somebody but not be intimate. You could be married to somebody but have the ick.